I must express my profound gratitude for you to allow me to share your pulpit today. And I must continue to pray that God will use you and your wife as you lead out in this part of the vineyard. Working here in New York City is not an ordinary place to work. We are called to serve in a special vineyard. And God has given you strength and energy, and it is my prayer that He will continue to use you in this place. But you cannot do the work alone. Fortunately, you have in this church members who are committed, members who are dedicated. And I can talk about that because I pastored here. It's not always easy because there are differences of opinion and differences of styles, and already you know, my style is my style. But I would dare tell you what my style is. My style is rooted in my understanding and perception of who Jesus was. That's the guy that has been my guide. The way He treats people. Nobody has related to people the way He has. And He came so that we could understand who His Father is. And my task for my life is that I should always try to emulate Jesus and reflect His image. Sometimes it's not understood, but that's okay, because I leave the rest to God. Because whatever I do and say, I do it sincerely. And so, Pastor, I consider it a privilege to serve God's people here today. And I need to commend, I'm told that we end the service by about 1:15, so I may not be able to preach. But I need to pause to acknowledge the work that's been done here. There's a certain amount of class and pizzazz and style and finesse that this church caters to. And I can remember that from I was here with Sister Anderson, making sure, you know, we need to have flowers a certain way and so forth. And I came along and I said, you know, sometimes we need to conserve and cut back, you know. And because I am somebody who's always moving. But this church has always had cultured people. And it's God wants us to be that way. Your bulletin is an instrument and a tool for serving others. So I need to commend those who prepare the bulletin. I need to commend the officers. Brother Eric, you have served many years. And I sometimes wonder, what age could you be? because you look very young. And you know, that leaves me to depart from my script as we got to that. I will go back to it as we talk about age. And this really is not part of what I planned for today. On February the 2nd, I will turn 74 years of age. Do you see how good looking I am still? At 74. And you know, I think I should do something more. I should do something I've never done in all my ministry. I should ask the deacons to come and collect a birthday offering for myself. There may be some of you who will have a dollar or two. Deacons and deaconesses, I'm going to ask you to go into your pocketbooks and your purses, and even if it's a dollar, but if you want to give more, give me a birthday gift. This birthday, you can remember that the pastor, on his 74th birthday, he collected, he was so audacious and dry-eyed and bold and cocky and unusual that he asked for an offering for his birthday. If you don't have it, you don't have it. If you don't have it, but if you can afford something, give me something. Give me something. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. At least, you can say, this pastor is true to form. You can never know what he will come up with and what he will do. My wife, you met her already. Where is Brother Barry Anderson? Where is he? Brother Anderson, he's up there. And you know my wife's name. What is my wife's name? Joy. But the name that I love is what? Earlene. That's her legal name. That's her legal name. And Brother Anderson, what do I call her? Did you hear what he said? Sweetie. Yes, I will never forget until I die that Brother Anderson always adding that little piece. He calls her sweetie. Yes. Brother Anderson, continue the work that you're doing here in this church. And God be with you and bless you. Sister Ephraim, I saw you singing here today. And I want you to know this, that God has a special place in his heart for you. Ah! The title of our sermon today is what? Okay, yes, offering? Yeah. I'm going to ask you to bring those bags up here because I don't want anybody to miss and take it anywhere else. Bring the bags up here, please. Bring my birthday money. Please bring it to me. Never had a pastor like this. Please put in your money. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. Okay, there are more coming. Okay. Thank you very much, Pastor. Could you hold on? The birthday money that you gave me, yeah, that birthday gift that you gave me, I need to thank you for it. 50% of it will be going to a Roman Catholic woman who lives on Baychester Avenue, who's gone through a difficult time. Struggling. And the other 50% of it is going to be going to a member in this church Who can do well with that money? Let us bow our heads as we give thanks to God. Dear Father, for sparing my life to see 74 years, for sparing my life to speak one more time to your people, for helping your people to be liberal and kind and giving, I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you on behalf of the lady on Baychester Avenue, and I want to thank you on behalf of the member that the pastor will be giving this gift to. Help her to remember that she is one of your nails. She's the apple of your eye. Lord, speak now in the stillness while we wait on you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The title of our sermon, When Nails Bend. But I could not finish all that I needed to have for the title. When nails bend. When nails rust. When nails are discarded. Whatever happens to nails, today you are that nail. You seated here in this place are a nail in God's workmanship. And sometimes life gets difficult. Sometimes life gets hard. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11. Sister Anderson, could you come here, please? Please come here, Sister Anderson. Sister Anderson is an educator. Sister Anderson is a long-term member. And Sister Anderson, I'm going to ask you to take those 11 nails and balance them on this one nail. Balance them on this one nail. No, all of them. Just come right in front of the MC. Balance them all. To balance all 10 nails. This morning, boys and girls and young people got packets with nails. All those who got a nail as well as a holder, will you stand for me? All those who got. Just please stand. All those who got the packet with the nail. All those who got. Okay, you may be seated. Are there any high schoolers or college students in here who did not get one? I need you to come and get one. Everybody is trying to balance those nails. We bring the package inside for you so that they can get a packet. Is there any other person who did not get college or high school person? Because you're asking for a magnet. Is there any other person who did not from college or high school? All college and high school is not. Okay, Sister Anderson, we're going to hear from somebody else a chance. We're going to have the pastor to do it now. What did Pastor say? It's impossible. It's impossible for him. Ah, that he is making progress. Okay. You see, there are times in life when we feel that we can't make any progress. We feel that things are difficult and hopeless. Okay? That's the prize. Is there any person who got a packet of nails this morning who got them all balanced? Is there anybody in here who got them all balanced? Yeah. We're going to ask this sister to come forward. Because Sister Anderson didn't get it done. Pastor didn't get it done. And you think you can balance these hairs? Okay? So, let us give her the chance to do what she wanted to do. Okay. She thinks she can do it. Okay. Nails. Today, each person seated in this church needs to recognize that when they come to church on a Sabbath, you come to be re-energized to go into the week to bless somebody. Amen. And that's why each person was given a card this morning. Does everybody take out your card? Take out the card that you were given. Take out the card that you were given, because that card is to be one of the tools you're going to use to share with somebody this week. Okay, my assistants, there are some persons who did not get cards. Please help them. Raise your hands if you did not get a card. Raise your hands. The cards are in the back. Could you bring some forward? Okay.
Just bring it off. So you gotta watch him when he's off the mic.
Those who did not get, could you help distribute? Just raise your hands up your wrist and move with energy and alacrity. I'm 74, I am still kicking, so you should be kicking. Okay. Brother Anderson, you're going to give me a lavalier. That's a wonderful thing because I can't get stuck. Yes. Thank you very much. So we'll turn this one away. Okay. Okay. All right, let me help you lift it up then. You know something, we'll put some more there. We'll help you put some more there. Go ahead then. She is doing it. She's saying it can be done. Okay, let me lift it up for you. Okay, hold this hand. All right, I'll put it up. Got it down? Put it in. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay, you can let it go. We who are gathered here today saw something that looked impossible. Looked impossible. This week, all those who got a little packet will go and share with their friends and give them the test. Can you do this? And they will use this in teaching others. Do not give up too easily. And as Christians, we know that all things are possible through Christ. Sometimes we need to change our attitude or approach. Sometimes we need to be open to give people a chance to do things differently. And so it is with God. The nails you got today. The nails you got today represent all of us. What do we know about us? There are some persons who are tall. Some persons who are short and fat. There are some persons who are ugly looking. Not many persons are good looking. With it. Be contented to understand that you are a useful nail in God's hand. And there are things that happen. We find that nails perform a valuable function. But we will also remember that not all nails are alike. There are some nails that are long. That if you hit it with a hammer, it will bend quickly, and there are some you have to strike it again. And there are some nails that with time they become rotten. And it was only yesterday I was talking with a friend of mine in Jamaica, and he asked me, pastor's daughter, her name is Claudette Haynes. And I told her about the sermon, and she said, well, what sort of nail am I then? And she said, well, I guess I'm a rusty nail. And I said to her, understand this. That no matter what type of nail you are valuable in God's sight. Amen. And then she brought to my attention, she said, some years ago, my husband, Dr. Milton Haynes, and I went on a trip up in Canada. And we went and visited the botanical garden. And when we visited the botanical garden, there were some roses that were exceedingly beautiful. And we said, how is it these roses are so beautiful? And they said, we plant rusty nails at the roots of the roses. We plant rusty nails at the roots of the roses. And then she went on to say, you know, there is also a belief that if you are cooking old cow for 3 years, if you put a rusty nail in the pot, it will tenderize the food. Dear friends, as we sit here together, we understand that no matter what category you fall into, no matter what has happened to you in life, no matter if you got bent and beaten and battered, no matter if you were thrown aside, no matter if you rusted,
God still has use for you.
Amen.
I wonder if you understand how wonderful that is.
If you understand how important that is, and God can use you to do great things for Him, you don't have to
be sharp and clean and straight. What you need to do is to allow God to use you where He has placed you. And that's why on the back of your card, turn your card over, because I want you to read a little quotation. I read a little quotation that it's a couplet. Some 20, nearly 30 years ago, at camp meeting, I met a man by the name of Ron Haythorne, a lanky gentleman. And he saw me and he said, "Pastor Maynard Reed," he came to know me, and he said, "I like poetry." And he shared that couplet with me. And that couplet has not left my heart nor my mind. I want us to read together what that couplet says. It says, "My heart belongs to thee. It only..." Let's read it one more time. "My heart belongs to thee. It only beats in me." We could close the service now and you could leave here with that recommitment to God, saying, "Lord, I am your nail. You have created me. You called me the apple of your eye. I have this heart of mine. Sometimes it gets angry. Sometimes it gets bitter. Sometimes I experience all sorts of emotions. But dear Father, take my heart and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine." Oh, dear friends, today, every one of us seated in this place needs to understand that we are a nail in God's workshop. You are valuable. You are special. You are useful. And I want you to understand that this workshop is not just a Seventh-day Adventist workshop. Because tomorrow, money spent at BJ's will be money given by a Seventh-day Adventist congregation to aid a Roman Catholic woman. Because we are all God's children. And that's why I ask you to remember in prayer, my dear close friend, a Roman Catholic Mother Superior, by the name of Sister Donna. I want you, every time you pray, say, "Dear Father, be with Sister Donna." Sister Donna supervises young nuns who come into the convent. And Sister Donna is trying to live like Jesus for these nuns. I want you to understand, dear friends, we are called to be instruments in God's hand. We are special, we are chosen, we are select. And I want you to understand that just as Ron Hawthorne wrote that poem, there are other Christians who have written wonderful things. Have you ever heard of the name Saint Augustine of Hippo? Saint Augustine of Hippo, a Roman Catholic, an African who was a devout believer in God, a devout Christian, and his famous prayer, and I love this prayer. It says, Augustine's prayer says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Here was a man who was not an Adventist, but he was one who read the scriptures.
And this is why, as you go into this coming week, you need to understand that all you need to do is to reach out to your Jehovah's Witness friend, your Baptist friend, your Catholic friend, and read with them the scriptures. Share with them that God has said you are chosen and they are chosen. You are special and they are special. What they need to see, though, is Jesus living in you. So that you do not just speak Jesus living in you. And I want to give you the assurance that you see that sometimes the nail gets bent. Because sometimes you mess up. Sometimes we mess up. But we must not give up. Must never give up. That same Augustine, among his prayers, one of his prayers was, God, give me chastity and continence, but not yet. What he was praying for? Chastity and continence, but what? Not yet. I want to enjoy a little more of this thing, dear man. Running about and so forth. But not yet. You see, we are at different stages. And we grow in grace. And we need to understand, dear friends. We need to understand that God's desire is to save every one of us. I'd like all those who are visiting this church, who are not members of this church, to stand at this time. All those who are visiting this church, you're not members here. All those visiting, Pastor, could you give one to each of those that are standing for me? You're going to be given a special nail. All those visiting who are not members, the nail. You are a nail in God's workmanship. You are special. And you need to share what we studied here today with others. God has called all of us. He has called all of us. And he wants to use all of us. And what we need to understand, that God wants to use us. He wants to use us where we are. The problem is that there are many of us who are not allowing God to use us. In your bulletin, and again, I need to commend you for this elegant bulletin. In your bulletin, there is a little poem that says, for want of a nail. For want of a nail. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the battle was lost. For want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And what does the last sentence say? And all for want of a horseshoe nail. If that horse had a nail in the shoe, it would have been able to go into battle. And it would not have caused the death of the rider. If the rider had not died, there would be somebody to go forth and carry the torch of the battle. Because they lost the battle, the kingdom lost its power. All for want of a horseshoe nail. And you who are gathered here today need to remember that you are important where you are. The Bible gives us that example in our scripture reading this morning. Where was our scripture reading found? 2 Kings, turn your Bibles to it. In 2 Kings chapter 5. And again, I need to commend this church for the work it's doing. That young man that read the scripture. I want you to know that was done well. And I want to tell you something. It's not so in every church. I preached at a church some time ago. And when they were going up, the first elder chose not to participate in the service because a little child was going to read the scripture lesson and sit on the platform. Boys and girls, understand that you are important in this church. You are important. And why do I say you are important? Because the Bible says that you are important. Yes, you may be a little nail. You may seem to be insignificant now. A few years ago, I was a little boy in church. Just a few years ago. You may laugh, but I am very serious about it. Just a few years ago. A few hours ago, we were in 2019. Where are we now? We're at the end of another month. Time is not waiting. That's why we need to understand. Because God has called us, He's expecting us to use the time that we have wisely. Every day must count. And how do we know that every day must count? Because we do not know what will happen to us. Go back to the scripture lesson. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1 it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria." And do you know where Syria is? Syria is the same place where Al-Assad is the ruler. It is the very same country. Those were the places where Jesus knew about, the disciples and the apostles. And it says it was in that place that Naaman was a captain. And what type of person was he? What the scripture says? It says he was a great man. He was a mighty man. He was a powerful man. You see, our Bible does not speak about only the Seventh-day Adventists or the Christians, but the Bible speaks about foreigners. It speaks about who we call as heathen and these people who are around you. Here it says, he was an honorable man and you have honorable people working with. They may be Baptists, they may be Anglicans, they may be Jews, they may be Muslims, they may be Hindus, they may be atheists also. I have many atheist friends and I am so excited as I'm able to witness to them. I'm excited. A few months ago, I sat down at lunch with two professors from the University of Rochester, and we were talking, and they said to me, "Well, you know, we are atheists." I said, "I know that." I said, "But it does not make sense to me." And he said, "My wife and I, we are atheists, and we don't have any children, but if we had children, we would have to find a church to bring them up in." Dear friends, we need to understand that the world knows that the church is a place to help build up values. Even the heathens and the pagans and the atheists recognize it. That's why we need to understand that we have got to be careful what sort of nails we are. You may be one of those wicked nails that always juking people. Always causing pain in other people's lives. No, no, no. If we used to be that way, we can change. So back to the story. It says Naaman was a great man and an honorable man. And then the scripture goes on. It says, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. So God works through men and women all over the place. The question is, are you going to allow God to use you? The Bible says, if you fail to do your part, He's going to let the stones cry out. Let the stones cry out. I am so thankful that I had a mother who, though she did not have the classical education, for she had only a grade 6 education, yet she was able to teach her boys and girls to love to read and to study. And so we became readers and students. And she used motivating things. I have in my hand a pack of cheese crunches. In my mother's simple faith, each week, she would buy a pack of cheese crunches and tie it to the light. And the light in the center of the room, in those days, you had this light that came down and you switched it on or you pulled the switch. And you know, we would see it every morning and every evening, because on Friday evenings, we had our memory verse drill and our morning watch drill. And then we were able, whoever, there were three boys, and whoever won saying all the passages and where it was found, that one would win the pack of cheese crunches. And we were so silly, we didn't even think about it, that whoever won the pack was sharing it with everybody. So you didn't even need to know it. But here again I say, what happened? My mother said she must teach her boys to be students of the word. And boys and girls, after service downstairs, if you want to taste how cheese crunches taste, I love them to this day. I buy them. They cost $1 a pack. I'm not going to sell it, but you can taste cheese crunches. Yes. Studying the Bible, reading the Bible, listening to the Bible. And here we go back to the story of the nail. All of us are called to be nails where we are. Some are smarter than some. Some are richer than some. Some are more beautiful than some. We have different forms, but all of us have a work to play. The story goes on. It says God was using this pagan man. And he was a mighty man of valor. But he was a what? He was a leper. He was a leper. There are two types of leprosy. There is one, microbacterial neurodermatosis. That's the leprosy that affects the nerves of the skin. And you can get burnt and you don't feel it because the nerves are not there. And then there is the other leprosy, that when you have that leprosy, you have to stay away because it's contagious. Okay. And in ancient Israel, the rule is a Jew should not have anything to do with a leper. You must keep away from the lepers. You must keep away. For Leviticus chapter 13 says, and the leper in whom is the plague, his clothes shall be rent, his head is bare, and he shall put a covering over his upper lip, and he shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days of the plagues. He shall not come near the camp. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall be his habitation. So here this man, this Syrian ruler, what was his name? And what disease did he have? Leprosy. Go on to verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel. A little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. Notice what the scripture says. When they went out, who did they capture? They captured an Israelite who was described by scripture as what? A little maid. It did not give a name. It did not give an age. But it gave a description that the person that was captured was a little nail, a small nail, a little maid. She could have been 20 years of age, or she could have been younger. She could have been 10 or 8 or 12 or 6. And it says, when they captured this little maid, dear friends, do not allow anybody to make you feel unimportant. Allow nobody to make you miss the mark of being called to be special, because it is when that nail can bear many other nails. That nail can do many things that people will say cannot be done. If you know your master and your creator and your redeemer, he will use you as a little maid. A little maid. In contrast to a ruler who was a great man, a powerful man, an honorable man, a man that commanded authority. But the story is not through. Back to the scriptures. And it says, the little maid, what did she do? She waited on Naaman's wife. Now, it was not proper for Jewish people to be associated with people who had leprosy. There are times when things happen that are not the ideal. But if God is leading your life, he can use the situations in which you are to bring honor and glory to his name. Verse 3 becomes even more exciting. Verse 3 says, this little sprat, this little snapperback, this little twerp, this little twit. Verse 3 says, and she what? And she what? In other words, she was not some dumb little, stupid, timid, nervous, frightened, duffus, fool. This little maid. You know, friends, the Bible is for us to read and to be challenged and to be encouraged. For it says, this little maid, she said unto her mistress, she developed a boldness and she developed a confidence that she was not, even though she was a captive, she was not growling and being upset and says, I wonder what's happening now. I am sick and tired of this crap and cursing a couple of bad words and so forth. No. This little maid was now in captivity. And God allowed this little maid to speak up to her mistress. Notice what she said. What did she say? Would to God my Lord were with the prophets that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Here was a little child who had faith and confidence in the God that she served. Here was a little child who knew that her God is able to do that which had been committed to him. Here is a little girl who has confidence that if her master came in contact with her God was not going to disappoint him. Are you a little nail crouching up in a corner because you got bent? God can straighten you out. Are you a little nail frustrated because you are rusty? God can use you to make rose plants bloom and flourish. God can use you as you are and make the best of what you are. All that we need to do is commit ourselves into his hand. And sometimes, when we read the scriptures, we fail to understand how the Bible is such a balanced book. Because when a little child speaks, who is going to listen? Because she's just a little child. But when a child under the guidance of God speaks, it's not taken for granted. When in your workplace you stand up for principle, you speak for justice, you stand up for truth, you stand up and you will not be denied, you will not be coward, God is going to be by your side. The nail may be bent. The nail may be imperfect. The nail may be small. But God says, you are mine. Here she had the freedom to speak. Here she was small. She was little. But yet she recognized that wherever she is, she should do her work. And verse 4 says, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. Oh, dear friends, when you live for Jesus, when you speak like Jesus, when you act like Jesus, somebody will see. Somebody will see the light. Yes, you don't have to be perfect. But all that you need to do is to be holding on to the hem of his garment. And you need to remember this, that Naaman, this little maid, was a soul winner just like Rahab. Rahab saved the lives of those Israelites. This little maid was like Andrew. Andrew went around, and he was the one that found the little boys with the loaves and fishes when the other disciples were up front with Jesus on the platform. Andrew was walking around, checking out the children, and he saw there was a little boy who had lunch. And Andrew said, Jesus, there's a boy here with lunch. So you don't have to be an officer in the church to do a good work. You don't have to be appointed or elected. You just need to work where you are. For God wants you as a nail. That nail which is going to hold the building together. That nail which is going to be a place on which something can hang. That nail is going to make a difference. And when we read on in the scriptures, it says, the rest is history. Because the Bible tells us that Naaman went into the land of Israel. And when he went into the land of Israel, yes, Pastor, I see I must stop. It's now 1:30. Listen to me, friends. I have said enough for the day. You are a nail in God's workshop. You are called, you're chosen, you're select. When you are a nail in God's workshop, does not mean that you will not encounter difficulty. The little girl was taken as a captive. The story this morning about the Chinese baby. The Chinese baby was abandoned. Abandoned. You need to remember that even though she was abandoned by her parents, and we cannot judge them, friends. We should not judge them. We should not judge anybody. When people do things and make mistakes, do not judge them. Simply pray for them. For you don't know if that Chinese family, they had to have only one child, and that child had to be a boy. And so they had this little girl. But what happened? Even though she was abandoned by man, she was still in protection, for she was wrapped up and a bottle of milk was left. God is not going to give us more than we can bear. But we need to remember this. We have to be like the little maid. We must not be afraid to speak out about God's mercies. We must not be afraid to tell others what God can do
and what God will do, and that God is dependable and reliable and trustworthy. We need to speak for Jesus. And sometimes the people that you have to work among are those that have leprosy. Have leprosy. God will protect you. God will provide for you. God will keep you. And that's why I say today, we shall sing to close. Live out thy life within me. O Jesus, King of Kings, be thou thyself the answer to all my questionings. Young people, older ones, during this week, I need you to share that nail story with somebody. In your school, in your job, in your workplace, let them understand that God is able to do things. And he can use you, even though you are small and insignificant. God can use you, even though you may find yourself in circumstances that are not lovely. God will use you, even though some bad things may have happened in your life. All that we need to do is to do what the song says. Offer the prayer and say, Father, take my life and let it be. Also, we need to remember what it says on the back of that card. My heart belongs to thee. It only beats in me. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Dear Father, we are all sorts of nails, but we are thankful to you that you have a work for us to do. So as we leave this place today, help us to recognize that like the little maid, in unsatisfying circumstances, we must speak for you. We must live for you. We must lead others to know in you. Take us, Lord, bent, broken, used, abused, and help us to remember that you have a place in your workplace. Help us to be faithful to the end. This we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.